Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're still talking about tithing, and we want to just do a quick review of tithing under the law. And that starts at the very beginning of the book of Genesis, all the way through the entire Old Testament, and we're entering into a transition time between the Old Covenant and the New Testament. And we'll get into some detail that's really crucial to understanding what our approach to the law is now. But for now, let's just review under law, under a law relationship with God, what place did tithing play? And we've looked at all the references in the Old Testament that referred to the two aspects of tithing. The first aspect of tithing just being a tenth of anything, a tenth of cows, a tenth of money, a tenth of people. It doesn't matter. It's just a tenth. It's a fraction. But then there's also to tithe, which is the verb, which is the commandment of God that he required of his people under certain circumstances, that in order to fulfill his laws, which there were like 300 different laws and different, you know, major and minor laws that the Israelites had to follow in order to be his people so that he could be their God and protect them and lead them into the promised land and establish them as a nation. All the different promises he made. First, the Israelites had to hold up their part. And then God would be the God. So throughout that time, in looking at the law of Moses and all the different add-ons, the first thing we want to come away with is that looking at all those examples of how tithing was used in the scriptures, we see that tithing was always mentioned as a part of the whole. That there would be a list of requirements that people would have to do in order to fulfill the law, and tithing would just be like a line item. Like if you had a budget and you would sum up all the different things in your budget, and tithing would just be one item. If you have a job description, odds are there's many things in your job description, but one thing in there would be tithing for if you were an Israelite. So it's always mentioned as part of a whole. It's never separated out separately. And that's part of our predicament, is that we have a tendency to focus on it as a separate thing. Now, if you're trying to fulfill the whole law of Moses, tithing is still a requirement in that whole law of Moses, as is animal sacrifice and going to the temple at certain days and times and the festivals and how you plant your crops and who you marry. All those are requirements that still in existence if you are trying to have a relationship with God based on law. Secondly, we want to come away with the understanding that there is an emphasis throughout the Old Testament, when it's talking about tithing and even offerings and gifts, that there's an emphasis on caring for certain categories of people. And it's always the same categories, and there's always a real, God always emphasizes that those who can take care of others are to do it in certain ways, with generosity, but with organization. This will come into play later when we talk about Paul. But for right now, we see that there's always an emphasis on caring for those in ministry, caring for the poor, and caring for the widow and the orphan, as well as caring for the foreigner, people who are not citizens, are to be cared for and treated with respect and attention, not neglected, not taken advantage of. Now, again, we're going to see in the New Testament how some of these things carry through in the context, providing context for some of the scriptures that we're going to talk about later regarding the tithe. So finally, we want to, looking back at how tithing was treated in the Old Testament scriptures, we see that the closer we come to the time of the coming of the Messiah, that promise that God had made that there would be one who would change the hearts of people, the closer we get to that time, the scriptures start to reflect God coming to an end of relying on the law to determine the relationship. As long as the law is in effect, God can only have a surface relationship with his people. And it's based, again, on how well his people would fulfill the law, which is why when he had a complaint against them, he would always go back to the law. You're not doing number two, subsection A, category 3B. And he would always be specific about what they were doing wrong because that law defined relationship. Now, the promise of the Messiah was heart-related, that he would turn the hearts of the Father, of the Son, of the priest, of the people. He would turn the hearts toward him, and he would change his people from the inside out, so that the relationship would not be based on how the law is fulfilled, but it would be based on if the heart is changed. So throughout the Old Testament, and specifically in some of the places where God challenges his people, where they haven't fulfilled the law, including the tithing, he starts, again, closer we get to the end of the Old Testament, where the Messiah is to come, he starts more and more introducing that concept that the law couldn't do what was necessary to create a stronger relationship, a true life-giving relationship. Was clear is all the emphasis would be on fulfilling the law, having a checklist, doing all this, and then standing back and expecting God to do his part, which was to protect the nation, bless his people, give them peace and prosperity on their borders. And that was it. It was never a personal change. God was never a personal God. The priests always represented God to the people. The people never got to see God on a personal level. So it was much more a government situation where their leaders would speak to God for the people and speak to the people for God. The mediator was the priesthood. And what we see time and time again through God challenging his own law, that the people could not fulfill that law, he emphasized again, or revealed and emphasized, the need for a different kind of mediator, a mediator that would change the hearts of the people and not just instruct them on their behaviors. So he refers again and again to giving his people a new heart with his commandments written on their hearts. So it's not doing the law, the right thing, because they have to in order to be in relationship, but because it is now in their heart to do the right thing. That doing rightly according to God's heart and God's mind becomes a natural thing. And our new nature has been given to his people through a new mediator. And he changes our nature so that we're no longer, it's not that the law has been, is no longer necessary. It's now that that law has been fulfilled in the Messiah, in the new mediator. The mediator himself fulfills that law, can check off all the boxes, so that all those who, we can even use the illustration of, are in the tribe of the new mediator, the Messiah, all those have his characteristics. He is the head of that tribe, and those who are in his tribe receive the blessings that he received. And if we went through all the Old Testament, that's exactly the type that God used to have a relationship with Israel, was that each tribe was categorized by the patriarch of that tribe. And when we are born again, we enter the tribe of the Messiah, the mediator, and receive the inheritance that belongs to that tribe. So we'll get into more of that later, but those are the concepts that are being introduced even at the end of the Old Testament. And it's also a good place to start being clear about looking at and evaluating what's being taught about the law of the tithe. That there are things that are left out about the tithe, and there are things that are added about the tithe. And if we stand back and look at it, there are consequences, and we'll look through, right now we're really just looking at what's in the scriptures, but at the end of this series, we'll be looking specifically at what the specific problems are and why it's important to God, why it's important to us to be aware of what we believe and if that's truly part of what God wants us to be doing, as far as not only with our money, but also with our time and our support. So what we'll see is, as there were additions and clarifications over time to the law and to the tithing concept, there were clarifications made, and we will continue to see God's intent for instituting the law in general and the tithe in particular, and bring clarity to its place in Christian life today. Again, we don't want to become critical of those who believe a different way. Times when we, when God is rocking the boat, we don't want to try to stop it. And yet if God's not rocking the boat, we don't need to start it. So we need to know the times and the seasons, but there's nothing that needs to stop us from hearing God clearly. Now, this may not be something, again, that he is, that's for you at this time. That's fine, too. That's not a reflection on your maturity or your level of gifting or your role in his body at all. It's God's prerogative, and he exercises it regularly to decide what he wants to deal with for any of us. You could be in a church or a situation fellowship where everybody's all excited about learning about the gifts of the Spirit, for instance. And God may be dealing with you specifically about healing. That's fine. That doesn't mean you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, or they're doing the wrong thing, or you're doing the wrong thing. We don't depend on our circumstances for knowing how we're doing. It's you just have your be in your relationship with God, be in the right place at the right time with him, and he will take care of all your circumstances and situations. So don't be judging or evaluating how you're doing based on how well you fit in or how much agreement there is. Even if people agree on certain things, very often if you really start to dig down, you'll find there's areas of disagreement, even with those who believe they are in full agreement. So it's not the total agreement that's real unity. It's are you united with God? Everything else then falls by the wayside. It's not important. So now we start to enter into the transition time. And this is a transition between God relating to his people according to law and God relating to his people according to grace. This is the transition between the two kinds of mediator, the mediator of the law and the priesthood, where the priesthood, again, spoke for God and spoke to God. The people did not have direct access. And now the new mediator is the Messiah, where he brings us into, he has made the way, he is the door, and we can then come boldly, because we are in his tribe, we can then come boldly before the throne of grace. And as mediator, he's already done the mediating. It's not something that needs to be done over and over and over again. In the Old Testament, one of the purpose of all the festivals, of even tithing, of all these laws and restrictions and all the different parameters of the community and the government was to reinforce the cohesion of the culture, the society, and the government. And through that, there was a constant reinforcement of the identification of who their God was and what he was about, what he valued, and all these things tied the multiple tribes, the 12 tribes, together as into one identity. And that didn't work the whole time either. There was a time when the tribes were broken out between Israel and Judah. We won't get into that right now, but it certainly didn't work, wasn't certainly foolproof in any way, shape, or form. But what we see now is we're transitioning into a mediator that mediated one time. When Jesus Christ was crucified, then died and rose again, that was a one-time thing. He doesn't have to do it again. We don't need a Messiah, a lamb that was slain over and over and over again. He did it. It's done. Now we can reap the rewards and the benefits of being in his tribe, of entering his tribe and having our hearts changed. So that mediation has been done. That's one of the big differences between law and grace, is the "it is finished" part of his hanging on the cross. It was, the mediation was done. He took care of all the requirements. He went through and he checked off the whole list of things that needed to be taken care of in order for us to be able to have our hearts changed and become sons of God. become joint heirs with Christ and receive the full benefits of being in his tribe. So that's what the transition we're entering, that where one way of knowing God is transitioning into another way of knowing God. Throughout the Old Testament, the concept was introduced in many different ways and respects. And if you look even back at a lot of the legal implements, the ways the festivals were done, the timing, the symbolism, all was in looking forward to the mediator making those permanent changes, God revealing himself to his people in person, being the literal God and not just a God that mediated through his priesthood. So we see a lot of forward thinking through the law and a lot of promise associated with it, that there would be a time when the law would not be necessary in order to know God. But when it came down to the time when it actually had to take place, it required a transition because it was a new concept. There was an idea that once, if the law was ever perfected, if the law could ever be perfectly fulfilled, that is what would usher in a new relationship with God. If the law could be fulfilled, that would please him enough where he would then totally fulfill his promise to be their God and bring forth all the ultimate promises that he had made, that they would have peace in their borders, that they would have everlasting life, that they would never fear nor hunger nor thirst. And this was a real, they wanted it to be literal. They wanted to have control of their land again. And throughout the history of the Israelites, we see over and over again, they go into captivity, they come out of captivity. They go into captivity, they come out of captivity. We even see that in our own time. There's an in and out thing. And there's what they longed for, believed, was that there was a way to get that permanent solution, a permanent land, a permanent king, through fulfilling the law. And so when it was time for a new law, the law of a changed heart that would come through the Messiah, that was something that had to be conquered by God, that concept. So even when we look at when Jesus came, his biggest problem was not unbelievers. It was not outside the people of Israel. The biggest problem he had in introducing this new concept of a single mediator mediating one time, fulfilling the law, and changing the hearts of the people were those who were so dedicated to the law of God, the Pharisees, and those who truly love God. Now, many were in the priesthood, and even Pharisaical, that loved God and were open to seeing things a different way. But as we all know, it was the Pharisees, it was those who purported to love the law and love God that crucified the Messiah, that crucified this new way of mediation. And that's the way it always will be. Because when we have been convinced that this is the way to know God, there will be a war against giving up our way of doing things in order to accept a much simpler way of knowing God. So there will be a war inside of us. And we could even refer back to becoming a double-minded man and becoming unstable in all our ways when we are transitioning from one belief system to another belief system. But it's worth it because we want to deal with reality. And this, again, goes back to what is God talking to you about? What is the topic that he is dealing with you about? That's what you need to be paying attention to. So that the transition we can refer to as starting with the New Testament. Now let's start remembering, too, the New Testament does not start until the resurrection. So we often think of the New Testament starting with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not the New Testament, because the law, which is the covenant that God made, was still in effect until the crucifixion. And then the New Testament, the new testimony of our relationship with God, the new mediator, was not in effect until the resurrection. And we'll get into all these details, but let's start there, that when we talk about the New Testament, we start with, for our comfort's sake and for our familiarity's sake, we're going to start talking about Matthew, but that's really not where the new relationship, the New Testament, starts. But the transition period, we could say, starts with Matthew in what we refer to as the New Testament. So you could also say it's the pre-resurrection of Christ. It's just the period right before his revealing of himself, his crucifixion, and before his resurrection. Because everybody was still under the law, including Jesus. Now Jesus, again, he fulfilled the law. He checked off all the little boxes. And he's the only one who ever could or ever did. So our topic that we've been covering is tithing. So we start with, what did Jesus say about tithing? And again, this is before the New Testament went into effect, before he was a mediator. In the transition time, his purpose is to fulfill the law. So he is introducing the intent behind the law that God gave. The intent behind tithing, behind animal sacrifice, behind being kind to the foreigner and the widow. What was God trying to get through to him, through to his people? We're going to start with Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And we start by looking at the Pharisees' motives. And again, they are the ones who wanted to keep things as they were. By controlling the law, by controlling the mediation between the people of God and God, they could benefit. They were the ones who directly benefited. And with anybody, when you benefit for something, you're going to protect it from change. So again, Matthew 23:23, and then we'll go into Luke 11:37-54. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. This is Jesus talking. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed for dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have. Then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. So we will pick it up here next week. And again, we're looking at what Jesus has to say. He is the transition. And what does he have to say about the transitioning of the law and specifically about the tithe? So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. We'll be getting back together again same time next week. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.